Why should you be nice to people? Why should you be kind? Why should you be gracious? Because you're threatened with dire doom if you're not that way? No, that is not why we are gracious and kind to other people, but it is why the circumcision is. It is why under Peter's gospel, because they're under great pressure to perform and their blessings, just like in the law. Well, what do you know? Law is still applying in the circumcision gospel. In the law, it was do this and God will reward you. Don't do that and God won't reward you. They're still operating in law in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. People who mix that gospel with Paul's gospel, saved by grace apart from works of law, people who mix it, they think they're distinguishing grace from law, but they're not. They're mixing it up in the same batter. And they're not producing a tasty cake. They're producing, well, my sister and I used to make mud pies when we were kids. That's what we have here with a mixture of the gospel of circumcision and Paul's gospel. It's a mud pie. You can't eat it. You can't do anything with it. And so I always push for a distinction. You must make these distinctions or else you have a mud pie mess. Yesterday I said with the gospel of circumcision, you must forgive others for God to forgive you. There it is. It's in the Bible. Jesus said that it must be true. Yeah. Do you live this way? If you don't see any difference between Paul's gospel and this gospel, then you have to live this way. Maybe on Monday and then Tuesday you'll live according to being gracious to one another because God is gracious to you. Then on Wednesday, maybe you go back to the law because it's all the same. What does it matter? But this is why, to answer the question I posed at the beginning of this show, this is why we deal graciously with people. Here is our gospel. Now, what a relief. Yesterday, I spent the whole show talking about the circumcision gospel. That's tough for me. It's tough for me. It's not my element, but I have to show you the distinctions. Gospel of uncircumcision, Paul's gospel. Deal graciously with others as God has dealt graciously with you. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Here it is. I'm quoting, let all bitterness and fury and anger and clamor and calumny be taken away from you with all malice, yet become kind to one another. Tenderly compassionate, dealing graciously among yourselves according as God also in Christ deals graciously with you. If you want to call this a contingency, okay, but that's a stretch. Israel, yes, if you do this, I'll do this. If you don't do this, I won't do that. Smacks of law, it is law. This is, like a galaxy away from that. This is, God is not reckoning any of your sins to you. God is dealing completely graciously with you in spite of what you do, in spite of you not forgiving the Nazis. I noticed you didn't forgive the Nazis. No, I can't forgive the Nazis. Well, then, that's fine. God still loves you completely. Did you read that in Matthew chapter 6? If you don't forgive the Nazis, no problem. I forgive you anyway. No, that's our message. If you want to put the message of forgiveness in there, if you want to put the word forgiveness in there, go ahead, put it in this way. If you don't forgive Nazis, no problem. Your sins still don't count against you. But there is a term for that, and that term is justification. Forgiving others as God has forgiven us is no way for us to behave. Why? Because God has not forgiven us. He's not forgiven us. You see, He has removed our sins. That's another way to look at it back from Monday. He has removed our sins, but He has not forgiven us. He's taken our sins away, of course. That applies to everyone, but He has justified us. And we have been justified gratuitously, Romans 3:24. That is, by grace. Gratuitously. It's a form of the word grace. So now that we've been lauded, freighted with this amazing grace, God, I need to write a song. That's a great title. What is grace, by the way? It is favor granted to those who deserve the opposite. Grace requires people not to forgive people. Grace requires you to hold grudges against Hitler and Goering. It requires that you be a sinner. That's what grace is. You're not seeing it in Matthew 6:15. Where's the grace? If you should not be forgiving humans their offenses, neither will your Father be forgiving your offenses. Do you have to be a genius to get this? No, but you do have to be careful to correctly cut the word of truth. King James says, rightly divide. That means distinguish Paul's gospel from Peter's gospel. We are to extend the same grace that God has given to us to others. And again, grace thrives in the absence of good. Listen to this. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Grace thrives in the absence of good behavior. Grace thrives in the absence of forgiving other people. Grace thrives in the absence, in the presence of holding grudges. Grace thrives. Therefore, when we see other people holding grudges, other people not forgiving people, other people doing all sorts of untoward things, that we are to be gracious toward them. I think of this often when I'm driving here in South Florida. I think about being gracious to people as God is gracious with me. I want to condemn them for not going on the green light. But I think God is gracious with me. Have I done this before? Yes, a couple times, a few times in my life. I've not gone ahead on a green light. So I also am a stupid idiot, which I call them. I'm also a stupid idiot. I call them stupid idiots and morons. But it happened to me too. So I have to look at this and I have to think, as a Paul guy, I'm thinking, you know what? God is gracious with me. God is not dealing with me according to my offenses. So I'm not going to deal with this guy according to their offenses. I'm going to pray for this guy and that God be merciful for this moron for not going ahead on the green light. But I cannot behave this way if I have tied myself, if I have proselytized myself to the Israel gospel. Can't act that way because that message is not consistent with it. Grace thrives in the absence of good behavior because sin and only sin gives grace meaning. When sin disappears, so does grace. I got time to go to number 17. That was 16. 16 was a doozy. Spent 2 days on it, day and a half. Now we're going to go to 17. It's related. In the gospel of the circumcision, Peter's gospel, get this. This sounds like the best that you can have. They're expecting grace. 1 Peter 1:13. They're expecting grace. We expect grace because they're still looking ahead to it. Again, the consummations of the eons, 1 Corinthians 10:11, have attained to us. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're not expecting grace. We're taking a bath in the stuff. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, girding up the loins of your comprehension, being sober, expect perfectly the grace which is being brought to you at the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Grace is being brought to you at the unveiling of Jesus Christ when they're going to overcome. Israel's going to overcome, and there will be grace because there is some measure of grace in the circumcision gospel, and that God's going to give them the grace to overcome, but they're looking forward to that. They're expecting the grace which is being brought. So again, I told you, and this sounds terrible, but I'm going to say it again. Israel, the presentation of their gospel is primitive. It's Flintstone, and we're the Jetsons. They're the Flintstones, we're the Jetsons. Israel's the Flintstones. They're pedaling their cars. They're vacuuming with baby elephants. They're shaving with bumblebees inside clamshells. This is what Israel's doing. And we have to be gracious to them and understand that's their call. We can't force this on them. We're the Jetsons. We're living on another galaxy. We see truths that belong to the consummations of the eons. We live in glass houses that are floating above the universe with a sort of gentle, warm hum. That's us. Circumcision believers, they're always looking forward to things. Always looking forward to, gonna get this, we're gonna get that, we're gonna enter into this that we in spirit already have. We in spirit, I'm not saying in fact, I'm not saying we're currently living in the thing, we're not, but we are to believe that way. We're to live that way. We're to anticipate it in our apprehension, in our recognition. Now, here's the opposite of this. Gospel of the uncircumcision, Paul's gospel, we're standing in grace. Look at the difference. 1 Peter 1:13, expect the grace. Romans 5:1-2, standing in grace. And here it is. Being then justified by faith. You don't hear that in Israel. You don't hear that in the Flintstone gospel. I like that. I might refer to it from now on to the Flintstone gospel and the Jetson gospel. I like that. From now on, I might do this. I like it. Being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the access also by faith into this grace in which we stand. The grace in which we stand, and we may be glorifying in expectation of the glory of God. The glory of God is still our expectation. I'm not saying there are some things we don't still expect. We expect glorification. We expect our bodies to be changed, and God will fulfill that expectation. But for now, the one thing we're not expecting is grace. We have it now. And if we operate according to the Flintstone gospel, it's our own fault. I speak relatively, of course, because we have 13 letters written by the Apostle Paul of a completely different message, of a standing in grace, and of the blessed knowledge that we are, that our happiness, our joy, and grace, the root element of the word grace is joy. Our joy, not our happiness, our joy is based on the fact that our blessings and our favor of God come completely gratuitously, apart from anything we do, apart from anything we say, and apart even from forgiving Nazis.